Well, I was skeptical. There was a point there last night. I thought we might wake up in Kansas, but we're here. The wind has calmed down. Had a few raindrops on my windshield, just enough to make the morning sunrise driving east a little more difficult and challenging. But we're here. It's Rosie on the House in the Outdoor Hour with John J. Harper of Harper's Nursery. If you've got a question about your plants, your vegetables, your garden, anything outdoors, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. And like most rains in Arizona, not enough to go turn off the irrigation system.
No, it wasn't. You know, we didn't get any wind that I know of. I mean, of course, it was 2:30 this morning, so I didn't really go out and check. But I did hear the thunder and saw the light and heard the we have skylights, so I could hear it raining a little bit.
I got home last night, and our friend Sarah Ciccone was there cutting everyone's hair, so I got a little trim. And there was just enough when I put on my cowboy hat that it loosened it up a little bit. I had to go take a ball cap and ratchet it on my head to go do chores. That was just so... And you're walking sideways.
So that was early last night, though.
And I mean, all the way to about 2:30 the last time I remember waking up hearing thunder.
Oh, wow.
We didn't see the wind in our neighborhood.
Uh-uh. No.
Gusty, but not like that.
Yeah. It was nasty.
Well, if we had a monsoon, I was going to call Royal Norman, because if you remember last week, he predicted on this show that we wouldn't have monsoon for 2 weeks. So I don't qualify last night as a monsoon, so his prophecy still seems to be holding true.
All right. Well, you know, I just heard my first cicada like yesterday or the day before, and usually that's my indicator. When I start hearing the cicadas, like, okay, we're getting close. But obviously we're pretty close. I think they were forecasting pretty good chance of storms by the first of the week. So
peculiar. You're June 27th, and I saw a quail hatch yesterday that couldn't have been over 2 days old.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that there's probably even a few more of those to come. I don't know if you've been on a drive from here to Payson, but it's green clear down the Saguaro Lake.
It is. It's gorgeous. Absolutely
It looks
gorgeous.
Like August or early September, and it's the middle of June, which usually it's brown and ugly and dry. So we have had an unusual spring and early start to the summer, and maybe we'll get a good monsoon without too much damaging wind and lots of rain, and that'd be good because – Well, I tell you what, if your garden didn't do a 180 in the last 2 weeks, mine looks like crud. I mean, it just fried. You know, it went from, you know,
it's always
75
good.
Degrees to 115 degrees in 5 days. And I don't know that you could have watered enough anyway, but I don't know how many tomatoes I've got that weren't even ripe hanging on the vine that are now just tomato gunk.
Somehow in
slush.
A really sick way. Knowing your garden looks that is very encouraging to me.
Sure. Misery loves company, right? It's like watching a golf match, and when Phil Mickelson hits it into the water, go, see, you know, I feel better. Those guys do it too. So, yeah, it just looks like a flamethrower went through my vegetable garden. So it's about time just to pull it all up and quit water, save the water, I think. But watering in general, you know, we go through these periods in June. Usually it starts in May, and we start ramping our watering up, and we get to the middle of June, and we get weather like we had, but we've had kind of a progression to get to it, and we've kind of made those increments and adjustments, hopefully, as we got there. And it kind of caught everybody, including myself, off guard a little bit. Plants didn't have a chance to really kind of harden off and acclimate to it. So just because, like Romy said, we got a little rain last night, I wouldn't go out and start cutting your watering system back yet because, you know, we've had this last week or 10 days of 110 degrees every day. And my rule of thumb is, you know, if you're watering, let's just say you're watering once a week in December, then you're going to water about twice a week come March, and you're going to water four times a week come June. So it need, and I'm not saying that's what you should do, but just for comparison's sake, about four times as much water in the middle of summer as you need in the middle of winter. Okay. So, and then we go backwards. When it comes fall, we cut it in half. When it comes winter, we cut it in half. So most people don't ever change their sprinkler controllers. And there is little dials on there. They are meant to be changed. In fact, a lot of the new ones have just a percentage adjustment or a seasonal adjustment that makes it real easy to do just what I mentioned. So you do need to adjust those. If you haven't by now, your lawn probably is showing the results that your lawn or trees or shrubs are probably showing. We have seen lots of that in the nursery in the last week or so, with people coming in with sunburned leaves, with burnt up leaves, with dry spots, with things losing leaves and falling off. So make those adjustments to that watering system. If you need a great guide on how to water, we have a booklet in the nursery that's free. That just reading it, there's two or three pages. If you read that, take you 2 seconds. It's a lot easier than me trying to explain it to you. You can also get that online if you go to wateruseitwisely.com, and there's a landscape watering by the numbers guide in there. Click on those. We also put that in our newsletter that went out Thursday, that you can click on that. Take you right to that site, help you figure out how to water.
And it is a booklet put together locally in Arizona, but because it's all about testing your soils, I mean, you could take that book to anywhere and apply those same principles.
You could. It doesn't have to be just, it would work in Flagstaff, it would work in Tucson, it would work in Kingman, it would work in Albuquerque.
One thing this flash heat, rapid heat rise does for you, if you're very observant, walk around and you're going to know where your sprinkler irrigation system isn't working.
You'll know the weak spots.
If you've got a hedge of something and all of it looks good except 3 feet, you've got a plugged head, or you've got a leak down line. If you've got brown spots in your lawn, you've got a plugged head. You've got something going on. So be extra observant right now, because the stress your plants are under could tell you a lot about what you need to do.
And sometimes I was at a meeting the other day, and he goes, yeah, everybody manages their irrigation system for the weakest spot. And almost every irrigation, especially lawn sprinkler irrigations, have a weak spot.
Yes.
They're just a, depending on how they're laid out and the water pressure and the wind and different things, there's almost always a weak, and a lot of times it's along the driveway and the sidewalk where the concrete is hot and it's sucking moisture out of the ground itself and that sort of thing. So a lot of people manage their watering by the weakest spot instead of, you know, just on occasion, maybe give that spot just a, I do this. When I'm watering my pots or my containers, which needed it almost every day this last week or so, I'll go hit those little hot spots in my yard with a little extra water from the hose rather than running my entire lawn again.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't need to water maybe everything. It may just be one little 2x2 area. So, and, but it also may mean you got a sprinkler head that isn't working right, and it's worth checking that out.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE4U. If you'd like to join the conversation, we go to our lines now and start with Jay in Santan Valley. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. I have a problem with some of my tomatoes. We're still getting tomatoes ripen, but we're getting some blossom end rot. Is there a cure for that? Or?
Well, there is. It's a calcium deficiency, and there actually is a spray that's come out in the last few years called Yield Booster and Blossom End Rot Preventer. And you can spray it right on the plants, and it will, in time, correct that situation. We generally see blossom end rot when temperatures get really high. So I guess depending on, you know, the status of your tomato plants and how viable they still are, it's probably worth getting some of that. And it doesn't go bad. It would work next year again, too. So that's something to have handy.
And when you say a calcium deficiency, it's not getting enough calcium, and this has a...
Yeah, there's something about the way the calcium interacts in the fruit, and it causes then the plant to actually kind of use up the moisture out of the bottom of that fruit as well. So sometimes inconsistent watering will cause blossom end rot, as well as the calcium deficiency, as well as the fact that we have high pH in our soil and they're very alkaline. So really pay attention to your watering methods. And then, you know, if you really have it bad, and some varieties of tomatoes are worse than others as well.
Let's bring Richard in the conversation, calling from the Deer Valley area. Welcome, sir.
Well, good morning, guys.
Yes, sir.
I have a house my daughter lives in, and she's renting it from me. She's got a pool and a gravel yard, you know, whatever kind of rocks it is. Behind us is a very, very tall eucalyptus.
Mm-hmm.
We have agreed with the
current owner of the house behind us to get rid of the great stake fencing and put in a block wall. One of my concerns that this tree is about 3 to 4 feet away from the block wall. If that root system could possibly cause damage to the footer in the new block wall. And also, it appears that there's some roots that are getting so close to the pool that the cool deck is lifting. And some of the tiles have popped off, and she looks behind them, and there's some roots there. But we have nothing growing on that side of the yard or anywhere near the pool. And I'm wondering if this is possibly from that eucalyptus tree. I don't know if they have surface roots or tap roots. I think they're pretty much surface roots, aren't they?
All right, well, you got a lot going on there, so we need a few minutes. So first of all, let's address the fence thing. And Rosie and Romy can correct me if I'm wrong, but the fact that this tree is already there and fairly well established and mature, you would have less apt for it to probably damage the fence than if you had the fence and then you planted the tree and the roots, because the roots that are there are already there. You may have to cut a few roots to get a footer in there to put the fence in. So I don't think I'd be too concerned about, you know, putting the fence there, other than you may have to cut a few roots, which I wouldn't worry too much about either, quite frankly. As far as how trees root, surface, tap, all of that is kind of misleading. Roots will proliferate wherever there's moisture. So if you water shallowly, you will have surface roots. If you water deeply, your roots will seek out the moisture in the deeper parts of the soil. And of course, soil makeup and texture has something to do with that too. But those roots don't know that there's a pool sitting over there. They just know that there's moisture there, and they've traveled, and now they're bumping up against that pool and causing some damage.